Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. We're here to introduce a new member to the team of the lovely Courtney Mitchell with us today. Welcome, Courtney.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's amazing to chat with you. I'm excited to share a bit more about you and what you get up to at Shaping. So for those that don't know you yet, who are you and what is your role at Shaping Portsmouth?
Well, I'm Courtney Mitchell. My pronouns are she, her, and I am the community pillar lead at Shaping Portsmouth.
Amazing. So you've been with us a little while now. How long has it been?
Is it this third week, fourth week?
Yeah.
No, fourth week. Yeah, fourth week.
Well, in a lovely way, it feels like you've always been there. And you have literally just dived straight into the role, which has been amazing. How have you found it?
Yeah, it's been really good. It's been really interesting learning about all the different sections in the pillars and the different programs. I don't think people know quite the depth and scope of work that Shaping do, not just in my own pillar, but in all the other pillars as well. So just kind of really getting into that has been like so much for my brain to learn in a really good way.
Yeah. It's kind of like a little bit of an iceberg, isn't it? It's like there's so much happening beneath the surface.
Mm.
Sometimes you only see the outcome, but not always like, like you say, the depth of work from the team and the collaboration that goes on make it all happen.
Yeah, it's a huge amount. It's an absolutely huge amount. Just in my pillar alone, like there's three key programs, but in those three key programs, you could just keep going forever on all the bits that fit into it.
Yeah. I'm so excited for you. Honestly, I've been overseeing some of the community pillar and I can honestly say that the whole pillar, the community pillar, is in such safe hands, honestly.
Oh, thank you.
I wonder what drew you to this role?
Well, I've been doing community work now for about 4 years in terms of paid employment.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of sort of doing voluntary and community work, I've been doing that since about like 2017.
Okay.
I think the thing that really drew me to this one was how intrinsic it is to Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm.
All the programs and all the work really goes into making Portsmouth a better place to, was it live, work, study?
Invest and learn.
Learn all the things. But like in a genuine way, like it's all really for the betterment of Portsmouth. And I think I really like that there's such a wide range it can connect with, but it's really looking at giving back to the people and the organisations who need it. Rather than maybe doing sort of one-to-one support, it's supporting the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh, I love that. So I did a little bit of research on you ahead of the podcast. And I know that your background is community engagement. There's some theatre, there's some heritage in there. I wonder, how did that kind of path come together for you?
Yeah, it's one of my favourite stories, actually, is I came to Portsmouth to study criminology and criminal justice.
Okay.
That was in 2009.
Yep.
And then my lovely wife thankfully moved to Portsmouth not long after. I graduated at a point where, unfortunately, in my particular career, it was a real shortage of roles. So I went into doing dog care for about 10 years.
Okay. Amazing.
Completely different to first the degree and first to what I'm doing now. I then, during the pandemic, got involved in a project at Downtown Pompey with the fabulous Josh.
Okay.
That was called Wearing Mum's
Love
Makeup.
Josh. Yep.
Love Josh. Shout out to Josh.
Yeah.
That was for working class mums to share stories. And I worked on that, creating a zine. And they, I don't know why, grateful they did, saw something in me that pushed them to ask me to come in and start trying my hand at facilitation.
Okay.
My favourite part of the story is they asked me and they said, look, I really think you'd be a good fit. Would you come? And I said, no.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
Right.
I really didn't think it was for me. I was like, this is so far apart from kind of the world I'm working and living in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel particularly connected to like the city or working with people. But luckily, they're quite persistent.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept asking and eventually I gave it a go. And it really just led to like my love of working with people and telling stories, mm-hmm, and lifting up communities, particularly the ones that are often unheard or ignored. And it's just sort of developed from there. And I've been really lucky to work at some really interesting places in the city,
mm-hmm,
and work with some really amazing people and people who do such gorgeous, truly for the community, co-produced community work that I've learned from and really grown from over the past few years that's kind of led me all the way to here.
Yeah. And I guess because of that, you've seen the city from loads of different perspectives and heard lots of different voices that you might not have been able to hear otherwise.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing for me. Like, I've worked with so many different groups. It's been so varied. I've worked, as you said, like on heritage projects, on storytelling, devised theatre to, you know, health determinant research and festivals. It's been such a huge mix. But the thing that's always really key for me and comes back to me is keeping that community voice at the heart of it and doing what's best for the city, not being led what I think's best, but what's best for people.
Is there a project that stands out for you that you kind of look back and you're like, yeah, I feel really proud of that one?
There's lots. I think one of the ones I talk about a lot that I'm really passionate about is I was really lucky to work on a project called the Figureheads Project.
Okay.
At what was once called the National Museum of the Royal Navy, now the Royal Navy Museums, which was a truly co-produced project with diverse groups in the city looking at the stories of the ship's figureheads. And it was so beautiful to really go into a space and just hand over the power to groups and say, what do you want this to look like? And we had ideas of what we thought that sort of program would develop. I didn't think it would end with me dressed as Queen Charlotte from Bridgerton with a stuffed Pomeranian, but that's what the groups wanted.
Give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want. They wanted a full figurehead ball, a Bridgerton ball, and the project ended up being that. And all the development came from it, really came from the community itself. So not one element came from us. And I think that's something I feel really proud of, that piece of work that at the heart of it didn't have any bias in it. It didn't have a funder's opinion. It didn't have an organization's opinion. It just came from the people. And that's the thing that really like gets me like.
Yeah. And that's kind of a really egoless way to work, right? Isn't it? Because you can really go into it thinking, oh, it's going to work out like this, or like, oh, this would be a really great idea. And you just have to like park all of that, don't you?
Yeah,
and
you
just
really have to take yourself out of it. Yeah. Like, especially when it's hard. We all know that, particularly as creatives, when there's a big pot of money and you're like, okay, well, I could see that we could do this or this or this with it. And actually, you know, the impact or effect would be huge. But I find that people who are embedded within their own community really know what that community needs and wants. And actually, you get a much better reception to things when you work with people, not to the people.
Yeah.
And that's the bit that I just loved in that project, that there was not an element that wasn't just completely devised by them.
Amazing. I'll have to go and check that out.
Go check it out. The figureheads are still there. Oh. They still got the labels that were written by the community.
Wow.
And you can actually see some of it in the really lovely We Are Pompey film. There's someone modelling one of the catwalk dresses in it. So, yeah, the legacy continues.
I love that.
Yeah.
I really love that. And I wonder, what does community mean to you, like, in the context of shaping?
In the context of shaping, I think people have an idea that community in shaping is somewhat intrinsic to just being like the community of businesses or the communities of charities. But actually, it's just the wider community of Portsmouth, and there's space for everyone from all backgrounds to get involved, whether that's giving your time as a community member to other communities through the ambassadors, whether it is reaching further communities through charity support network, whether it is, you know, better supporting your community through work in the Shaping Employability Programme. I feel like community is really adaptive to each part of it, but all of it comes back to bettering Portsmouth through that work.
Yeah, it just flows through it all, really,
doesn't
it? It
really does, yeah.
Because I always think about community and connection, you know, like, and if you're connecting all of those different groups in whatever way they need, or like you say, connecting the ambassadors to the volunteering opportunities, or the trustee recruitment and finding good people to support charities, there's all that lovely connection that goes on.
Yeah, that's it. And I think those are the bits that make it really powerful. And I don't think people necessarily think like, oh, if I signed up as an ambassador, that's me doing community work because I get a benefit. But it is you doing community work and it is you giving back to your community because you're celebrating it.
Yeah.
But you're also supporting activities and programs to be able to run that wouldn't otherwise. Like, there's so much depth that goes into all of that. And like you said, that connecting all those little sections together is really what pulls the community strand really strong. And also the community runs through the other strands as well.
Sure.
You know, they currently run in silo in terms of titles and looking at it on like a spreadsheet. But actually, I think the more we have these conversations in the office and at work, the more we're really clear that like everything's a Venn diagram.
Yeah, of course.
Everything's got this like intersecting points. And I think in a way, community kind of sits at the center of really connecting with the business pillar, really connects with education. It connects with so many other bits of work that you wouldn't necessarily think it does.
Sure. I wonder, so you've touched on some of the programs that happen within the community pillar. Like, are there any parts that you're excited about? Or is there anything coming up that you're like looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm really excited about all of it. I'm really excited for the first PCCLF.
Okay, yes. So this is new then.
This is new.
Yeah,
All right, let me get the... I've got the abbreviation down. Let's get the full title right. Yeah. Portsmouth Charity Community Leaders Forum.
Amazing.
Thank you. Been practicing.
And it's almost like, not duplicate, but like using the Portsmouth Business Leaders Forum as a template.
Exactly.
But shifting the focus. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. So it's looking at works really well there, which is bringing together businesses, having speakers that are a specialism to those people and giving them advice and support they need and allowing people from a range of different backgrounds and different organisations to connect. There's loads of really amazing work that already happens in the city in terms of connecting charity CEOs and charity leadership. But there has been a gap that's been made clear to us that there is currently a gap between connecting the people who work within those charities, maybe people who are trustees or directors, connecting them with each other and allowing that space.
Sure.
So having somewhere where people from all different roles within an organisation can get together and they can also hear from some amazing speakers and learn something, I think I feel really excited about that. And I feel really excited about the possibility of where it could go.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And I love that about shaping. It's like identifying a need and then creating something. And, you know, you have to try these things, don't you?
Yeah.
And everything evolves, doesn't it? But getting people in the room and having that willingness to connect and to, you know, to support, really. It's not an easy time for that sector, is it?
No, it's a really hard time. Funding's the most restricted it's ever been. We're in a really competitive market. Mm. We've got devolution. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot happening at the moment that is probably leaving people feeling really unsure, maybe concerned about other organisations, what they're doing.
Yes.
But we all work better when we work better together.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of hope of these sort of things, is that it gets rid of some of that possibility a threat or some of those concerns, and I can fully understand where they come from.
Sure.
But when you're in a space with someone, it's much easier to have a conversation and be like, what programs are you working at? We're working this. Actually, here's a really beautiful point where let's pool our resources and connect together rather than see maybe someone posting something or doing something and you think, well, I'm already doing that. Why are you doing that? Where's this coming from?
Sure.
The more we can be in physical spaces together, which is hard, the better, because I think it helps with all that sort of collaboration.
And well, you can either feel really lonely in what you're doing,
exactly,
or you're looking to the left and right thinking, oh, why are they doing that? I need help. It's hard sometimes to just put your hand up and say, like, I'm struggling.
It's really
and
hard.
I need help.
Especially when you're new in it. When you first start out, you know, you don't necessarily know what you're doing in terms of like those sort of administrative tasks, those purposes. You have people start, you know, CICs and CIOs, because they have a really good intent.
Yeah.
They see a gap, or they feel there's a gap or a hole, and they want to use their time to try and fix it and fill it.
It comes from their heart,
and that's such an admirable thing. And it's something we should really talk about more, is the fact that like all these things come from someone seeing a gap and thinking, I have a purpose to fill it.
Yeah.
But actually, once you start that, it can be really lonely being that person who's there constantly, you know, almost banging your fist against the door being like, let me in.
Yeah.
And actually just having other people you can have those conversations with and be like, I'm finding it tough.
Mm.
I'm finding it hard. And then having someone who can be like, I know you guys are finding it hard.
Yeah.
But maybe actually this is something you could look at. Or let me explain this thing that's been happening that maybe feels scary and make it less scary.
Yeah.
And just having that time together. And, you know, we're all exhausted. We're all working really hard.
Yes.
But if we can at least spend some of that time we're working hard, enjoying each other's company, that makes it a bit easier.
So when is it, Courtney?
It That's a good question.
Yes.
I want to say it's September 12th.
Yes. But I'm sorry. Of all the things I'm asking you, I've put you on the spot there.
You've put me on
it's
the spot.
It's in September.
We know that.
We will confirm will be lots of talk about it. I know we shared it on our social media anyway. And we'll do lots more sharing on the lead up to that, explaining where it is, the date. And how you can get involved if you want to be there.
Exactly.
So obviously this is a big question because you're new into the role, but if you were to kind of fast forward into next year, what are your hopes for the community pillar and kind of where would you like it to be in a year's time?
Yeah, I really see so much room for growth within it.
Mm-hmm.
I see room for growth and I see room for being clearer.
Sure.
I think that's the things for me. I think the Portsmouth Ambassador Programme, particularly with the We Are Pompey bid, only has room to grow and grow when we win.
Sure,
City
I love
culture,
that. Yes.
I think the role of the Portsmouth Ambassadors can just become even bigger within the city. I mean, Terence is obviously already doing a phenomenal job holding up the helm for the ambassadors. So the more people can feel comfortable on social media and getting out there and talking about things, the better.
He's like a secret weapon, really, because he's
he is
everywhere in the city, and he is the program lead for the ambassador program. So that is another hat that he wears.
He does, and I think maybe we need to investigate if there's more than one Terence. I'm starting to think maybe he's a triplet.
Yes,
maybe there's more
you.
Than one, because how's he in all these spaces at the same time? I think there needs to be a deep dive into this.
I love that.
It's a spin-off podcast.
Conspiracy theories.
A conspiracy theory. There's more than one Terence. I'd like it to be investigated.
He would love that.
But no, I see that as like a really beautiful point for growth. And I think just helping more charities in the sector, I think with that kind of business support.
Yeah.
I know myself from coming from someone who's involved at a CIC from all different levels that it can be really challenging when you're first setting up stuff and you get some amazing, wonderful support from Tony at The Hive.
Yeah.
But then you're kind of like, okay, it's my turn. Like, I'm going to go off and do it. But if you've never done marketing before, if you've never done branding, if you've never had to really do HR or governance, that's all stuff you don't know. And unfortunately, a lot of us are conditioned to kind of push through it till we hit a problem.
Yeah.
And I really want to try and change that sort of mindset to let's get prepped and ready before.
Yes.
And then we're ready for anything that happens.
That's so true.
Yeah.
As someone who has their own CIC, you kind of learn by doing and probably making those mistakes, and that doesn't bode well for your kind of like confidence. And I feel like if you have all this lovely structure and the foundations are really solid, then you can achieve more, and it just gives you that confidence in what you're doing.
That's it, because obviously failure, we see it as a way of being a negative. I think failure is always an opportunity for learning. There's a lot you can take from it, but you said that knocked your confidence, that knocked your thought of ability. And there's a lot of really wonderful CICs I know have struggled because something's happened where they think, I just shouldn't be doing this anymore. And the more we can kind of set people up where they don't have to feel that way.
Yeah.
And they can just feel like, actually, if this issue does come up, I know how to handle it.
Or
I know how to talk about myself on social media.
Sure.
Where do I go for that support? Yeah. Or, you know, gosh, thanks to Jodie. Another shout out to Jodie Goodchild.
Yes.
I feel like I understand a little bit about LinkedIn, but like that LinkedIn verse to me was its own like scary thing. And not everyone has the opportunity to speak to someone who can help you with that. So that kind of stuff as well really just emboldened you to be able to get out there and be like, yeah, I'm going to make those connections.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my posts.
And I don't think it's always as clear as the start that when you're setting up, you know, a CIC or a charity or CIO, like you need to have that business mentality and that mindset. And we're so lucky at Shaping that we have such a wealth of knowledge from businesses, business mentors, people that are willing to kind of like share resources and support. So again, in that kind of lovely connecting role, there's so much that Shaping can do, isn't there?
Yeah, and the business pillar obviously just goes from strength to strength in terms of supporting small businesses. So there's no reason why that can't use that same approach with the kind of charity. And I feel like the employability side of it has got so much to explore.
Yeah.
You know, we're all aware of the statistics that come out of Portsmouth are very often talked about, but we don't really look at the success stories that happen and why things work well and what we can do more to help those things that work well work better.
Yeah.
And I think that's the kind of thing that Shaping can be like almost a conduit
yes.
for things. We don't have to come in and be like, we're going to start a new program, or we're going to develop this thing, we can almost be a conduit for people who are doing it really well.
Yeah.
To just connect and then start distilling it out.
Yeah.
And I think I love that, because it feels like that, like you said, that connecting again, that pulling people together, supporting people is where we're really strong.
Yeah, I love this, Courtney. So you said earlier, like, you moved to Portsmouth, I think you said 2009.
I did.
And you were studying here, and then you were one of those people that never left. Is that
literally
what happens?
Yeah.
It's quite a common story, isn't it?
Do you know what it really is? Like, I did not think I would still be in Portsmouth now. I had no consideration that I would be. Like, it was very much like, I'm going to uni here. Because it was the best place to study the course I wanted to study. I'm really sorry to the people of Portsmouth. I wasn't even like, yeah, let's go. I love Portsmouth.
Just didn't even know what you were coming to.
I didn't even really know. And then after moving here, and my first year, as obviously a lot of students are, I didn't really engage with Portsmouth outside of the Guildhall Walk, catch my drift.
That always, like, I'm always amazed. I've spoken to students and they're like, oh, we didn't even know that Albert Road was a thing until our second year. And I'm just like, it blows my mind.
I think I only went to the beach like twice because I was like, oh, I'm not walking all that way.
I went to
Craswell Street Tesco, and then I went to the Guildhall, and that was about it. But then after my second year, when my wife moved here, then we really started sort of living in the city. But I still think even then there's that thing of you have to kind of have a buy-in with Portsmouth, and then it will take you back.
Yeah, what was it? What made you stay?
I don't even know to start. It just kind of was like a rolling thing of like, well, we're here. But I always say now my 16-year-old loves Portsmouth. Aww. I feel like if we ever tried to extract them from it, it would take a part of them away. They are one of the most Pompey people I've ever met.
Amazing.
The passion for Portsmouth is strong.
I love this.
The accent is strong.
Okay, right. All in.
They're all in because they've lived here their entire life.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. Like, you meet people, and it sounds like a cliche, but they are so passionate about Portsmouth. Like, I grew up living in like villages outside of Reading. My dad lives in Hackney, so I went between the two. Mm-hmm. But I've never felt passionate about an area I live in. It was always like, I live here and like, that's what it is.
Yes.
And I think the thing about Portsmouth that makes it so different is people are passionate to live here.
Yeah.
They love that they live in Portsmouth. Yeah. Or if they don't love that they live here, they'll tell you exactly why they don't love living here.
They're passionate either way.
Either way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that thing that like really draws you and pulls you in, because you kind of get taken along with it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're really passionate about Portsmouth, and you want Portsmouth to have all the things and do all the things. And it almost feels like when you first get like a dog and you're like, I can see where you could go in life, and like, I don't really know you yet, but I feel like I'm going to love you one day.
Yes.
And that's how your relationship develops with Portsmouth, where you're like, we'll find each other, and eventually you do, and it becomes this really beautiful
thing.
I
love this analogy. So is it home now?
Are you
all in?
Yes, I'm all in. Yeah, no, I feel like I've been all in for a long time. I mean, I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else. I've been here now 17 years.
Okay, right.
And I moved here when I was 18.
Okay.
So like,
big chunk of
the majority of my life is here.
Yeah.
Like, and it's, I can't imagine living somewhere else now. Like, it just feels like home. And I'm lucky enough that I've lived in lots of wards. Well, lucky or unlucky with the renters market, but I've lived in lots of wards in Portsmouth. So I've kind of feel like I've experienced like the full range of it. And now I'm in Milton, which is lovely.
Well, that only feeds into all of the work you do in the community.
Well, exactly. I've been everywhere.
You've lived in those areas, so you know.
Yeah.
I love this. It's all like research, really.
Yeah,
for your community.
Yeah, I've been in Fratton, I've been in Copner, Southsea, Eastleigh, like all of it. I haven't been in the north, I'm sorry to say to people living in the north.
There's still time.
Get me up the chalk pits.
What about, so we're in this big year of kind of celebration, like the centenary, the culture bid. It does feel like we're really looking at the city and thinking about all of those bits that we feel really proud of.
Yeah.
I wonder, is there something that you would celebrate about Portsmouth?
I always think it's the people, like the people. And, you know, we always say like the proper Pompey people, the passionate Pompey people. But it really is that.
Yeah.
Like, the reason I love doing the work I do is because I get to spend time with and connect with people and from all different backgrounds. Like, I grew up in a place where there wasn't a lot of people from different backgrounds. I was one of 3 mixed race people in my own school. Okay. I get to see people who look like me, but I also get to meet people who are nothing like me.
Yes.
And have that connection. And I really love that. And I've made such a beautiful family here through, and they're people from all different walks of life and people I probably would have never come across if I hadn't been lucky enough to work in some of the places I work in and meet the people I meet. And people just take you in.
Yeah.
They just take you in here. They just will hold out their arms to you and be like, you are part of this now. And I think that's something that's really special.
Yeah.
It's something that we have to shout about more.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And I love that, Courtney. I wonder, we're coming to the end of the podcast. It's been an absolute joy to chat to you and learn more about you and your enthusiasm for the community pillar. Honestly, it's a big joy to be around. The last question we'll ask is, do you have a city tip, somewhere you love going, restaurant, a place, a space, a view? Share something with us about Portsmouth.
I mean, I'm sure I'm going to be cheeky and do two.
Okay, fine.
My first one is, I'm sure they've had the shout out, but shout out to Natty's Jerk.
Oh, okay. Always. Amazing.
I love Natty's Jerk. We got it yesterday. My dad is from the West Indies.
Okay.
I could clarify that he thoroughly enjoyed it. Okay. So, you know, there's legitimacy to it. But the family who run it are an incredible family. I have so much love and time for them, but the food is amazing.
It is amazing.
And if you don't know, there's a beach in it.
I know. Do you know what? I don't often eat in, and I went there and I was like,
there is a literal beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can go in, you can have a cocktail, you can have a mocktail and put your toes in the sand.
Yes. And Especially where it's been so hot. It's literally like taking you on holiday.
Exactly. So
get
down to Natty's Jerk.
Okay.
And then I think my other favourite place is more of a personal one for me is, as I said, I live in Milton. Mm-hmm. I'm really lucky to live opposite Milton Common. And my favourite thing is to take my dogs for a walk as they actively misbehave and just watch the swallows.
Mm.
They're just so gorgeous. And I don't think people are so aware of like how many incredible birds are over there.
I'm a big bird fan.
I love, do you know, I've reached an age in my life, Charlotte, where I've become a big bird fan.
I'm the same.
Yeah. You get to that point and now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, what's that I hear?
Yeah. I've got the Merlin. I've got the Merlin app. So I'm getting the Merlin app out anytime I can. And I'm like, oh, it's a so-and-so. This? Yeah.
Listen, if you're a young person listening to us, it will come for you. Okay. Yeah. You'll reach your birding era.
You'll be getting binoculars before you know it.
I'm in my birding era. I love to go and watch the swallows. I've got a swallow tattoo, so I'm always kind of like, I'm like, I'm with you, little birds.
Oh, I love it.
But yeah, that's my tip is go to Natty's Jerk, go for a walk at Milton Common and just have a good time.
Perfect. You can walk off the Natty's Jerk around
Yeah,
the Common.
Exactly. Love Get it. One of those, what, those little scooters. You can go scoot around the city. I've not done it myself, so I can't recommend that, but I hear it's good.
These are absolutely great tips. Thank you so much for sharing them with us. And yeah, it's been great to chat to you, Courtney. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
No worries.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space and Portsmouth Community Lottery. Thank you.